The Lord be with you.
With
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand over your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on one who wants to borrow. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father, for he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus tells us to be perfect as our heavenly Father is perfect. I wasn't going to make this announcement, but I will right now. You see here a perfect human being. If you wish to touch me afterwards, you may, but one touch per person. I don't want it all to rub off because it's not very deep. Pope Francis says that this is a very challenging reading, and it is. It's very challenging to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. It's incomprehensible. How can we be perfect like our Heavenly Father is perfect? And yet Jesus says that's what we're supposed to be reaching for. Maybe it's better to go back to that first reading from Leviticus and from Corinthians, where the word is not perfect, but holy. We're called to be holy, as God is holy. So maybe that's something we can wrap our minds around a little bit better. And what does holiness mean? There are two levels to what holiness means in the Old and New Testament. When God says to Israel, "You are my holy people," he is saying, "I have set you apart to do God's work." So that's the one meaning of holy. It's not about people being saintly, but it's that God has set them apart to do God's work. And he says the same for us. As baptized Christians, we are a holy people. We have been set aside to do the work of God. The second understanding of holiness is what we usually think of: being saintly, being good, following the will of God, doing what we are called to do as baptized Christians. And every single day we can grow in holiness because God is guiding us. He is giving us his graces. He is giving us his blessings so that we can become more and more like God. And of course, Jesus himself, God the Son, is our model of holiness. And when we're looking to the scriptures or the teachings of the church, we're looking for the wisdom of holiness that comes from God, not the wisdom of the world that's out there that you see in the newspapers, in the media. That's not wisdom. That's really foolishness in the eyes of God. The real wisdom is doing the will of God, and that's very much countercultural. It's against what we see in the world. Now, Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. That makes sense, but he also goes on, love your enemies. Turn the other cheek. Do not give as you are given in the sense of violence or hatred. No, return love for hatred. Very countercultural in our society today, but that's the wisdom of God. And Paul again also says We are temples of the Spirit of God. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. So we are holy in that sense as well, and that begins with baptism. When we are baptism, we become part of the kingdom of God. We become part of His holy people. We become a dwelling place, a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we're called to constantly remember that when we go out into the world, we are carrying God in our bodies. We are holy. And therefore, it's so important, obviously, that we want to make sure that both our words and our deeds show the goodness and the love and the wisdom of God, not of the world, but the wisdom of God, which again is very different. You never hear from a politician saying, now you got to be holy like God is holy. They could, but they don't. We're never going to hear somebody say, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. But that's what we hear in the scriptures. That's maybe our motto, be holy as the Lord is holy, be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. And again, it may seem daunting, and it is, but again, Paul tells us, Moses tells us, Jesus tells us, you don't need to worry because you have the graces, you have the blessings from God to actually be holy, to become more and more holy, to become more and more perfect. So Margaret, when she's baptized today, she will begin that journey as an adopted daughter of God and as a disciple. And to the day she dies, she's going to be learning more about holiness and perfection and becoming more and more holy and perfect. And that will be first and foremost the call of the parents to make sure that she's raised in the faith, that she knows she is a child of God and should be flourishing as a child of God and really making a difference in the world. We can't keep our faith enclosed in this building. This is a church building. But we, as human beings, are truly the church, so that when we go out those doors, we're supposed to remember, okay, what did I just celebrate? What did I just recommit myself to? How am I going to show Jesus Christ in all of my words and deeds out in the world? And the more we do that as individuals, but even more importantly, as the body of Christ, the more things will change, the more people will see the light of Christ, the goodness of Christ in the world, and they'll want to know what that's all about. And hopefully they'll want to come and to be part of God's baptized children, part of the kingdom of God, those who are called to perfection, to holiness. So it is daunting, but it's doable because God makes it doable. So on Wednesday of this week, we begin what we're told is the joyful season of Lent, an opportunity for 40 days to do some thinking, to do some evaluating, to do some work on our spiritual lives, to see where we are in holiness, where we are in perfection, to adopt practices such as prayer, fasting, almsgiving, as ways of helping us understand more clearly who we are called to be as Christians and how we might grow in holiness and perfection, and to each and every day to keep looking at our lives and asking ourselves, are we reflecting the goodness of God? Are we reflecting His love? Are we returning love for hatred? Are we not seeking revenge? And not just doing that, but also going out without being told to and ministering to everyone we meet, to bring the knowledge of God, the love of God through our deeds and actions to everyone in the world. So there's so much lack of wisdom out in the world, as the scriptures say, and that's always been the case. But that doesn't mean that we don't have the true wisdom, that we have to abide by what passes as wisdom in the world. We have the scriptures, we have the teachings of the church, we have all that we need to know so that we can grow as Christians in holiness and perfection. So as we prepare again for this holy and joyful season of Lent, think about your own call to be holy, to be perfect. Jesus says we can do that if we are faithful. Ask yourselves, how have I done so far in my life in being a holy, perfect person? What do I need to do? What do I need to change so that I can become more holy? What kind of prayer might I want to try to see how that helps me in my relationship with Jesus Christ? How do I want to reach out to the poor? How do I want to reach out to my co-workers and show them the light of Christ? There's millions of ways in which we can do that. And every time we take a little step, we actually do grow in holiness. We do grow in perfection. So with God, sky's the limit. But it's up to us each day to recommit ourselves to what began in our baptisms so that we can become the holy, perfect people that God has set us aside to be so that we can proclaim his goodness and increase the numbers of those coming into his kingdom. So as we receive the flesh and blood of our God, which is true divine food that really changes us, let's pray that we will take that understanding and knowledge out into the world and proclaim it so that we can indeed change the world, make it more look like the kingdom of God, which God has invited all people into.